COVID-19 could be under control by the end of next summer. I'm Pam Huso, Fox News. That from the creator of the Pfizer vaccine that received approval from the FDA last night for emergency use. The first doses could be administered to healthcare workers as early as Monday.
We have delivered a safe and effective vaccine in just 9 months. This is one of the greatest scientific accomplishments in history.
President Trump calls the development a medical miracle. A second vaccine made by Moderna could be approved by the FDA next week. As the Pfizer vaccine won approval, the U.S. set another record in virus cases and hospitalizations. Nearly 232,000 new infections were tallied yesterday, according to Johns Hopkins. Oral arguments will be heard by Wisconsin Supreme Court today. A lawsuit filed by the Trump campaign seeks to invalidate more than 200,000 ballots in the presidential election. The Supreme Court will not consider a lawsuit challenging President-elect Joe Biden's victory in 4 swing states. The lawsuit brought by Texas was backed by President Trump.
As most court watchers expected, they said no to Texas. You can't go after Georgia, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, and Michigan. And about how they voted, those 4 states had pushed back, saying, if you take away our votes as cast by 39 million voters, you're disenfranchising them. Texas had argued, well, you, by changing all of your rules at the last minute, taking away things like possibly witnesses or signatures, those kinds of things, changing the mail-in process, you have watered down your votes and made it possible for there to be fraud.
Fox's Shannon Bream, in a tweet, the president said the Supreme Court really let us down. A temporary funding bill signed by President Trump will keep the government running for another week. There's still no agreement on a pandemic relief bill. America's listening to Fox News.
Greg Kelly Reports is breaking records on Newsmax TV. President Trump was recently on, and millions tune into Newsmax every night. Greg asks the tough questions you want. Watch Greg Kelly at 7 p.m. Eastern or the rebroadcast. Newsmax is on all major cable systems and free on Roku, Zumo, YouTube, Pluto, and TVs like Samsung and LG. If your cable company doesn't carry Newsmax, call them and say you can switch if they don't carry it. Watch Newsmax today.
Give the best gifts this Christmas by choosing a rifle or shotgun made by Henry Repeating Arms. Henrys are made in America with the finest craftsmanship any patriot would be proud to own. There's more than 200 models to choose from for hunters, outdoorsmen, beginners, women, and collectors. They're reliable, affordable, and backed with a lifetime satisfaction guarantee. Visit henryusa.com to order our free holiday gift guide and 2 decals for stocking stuffers. That's henryusa.com.
Some familiar faces could be heading back to the West Wing as President-elect Joe Biden unveils more cabinet nominees and other top administration picks.
President-elect Biden, in his remarks, pledged to Americans,
"Help is on the way. I promise we're not going to let you down."
He says leaders such as Tom Vilsack as Agriculture Secretary, Marsha Fudge at Housing and Urban Development, Dennis McDonough handling Veterans Affairs, and Susan Rice overseeing domestic policy show a focus on experienced leadership at home. Vice President-elect Kamala Harris says it's their diversity that will guide them.
Different skills, perspectives, and areas of expertise, and they all reflect the very best of our nation.
Biden nominees are still to come at the Labor, Commerce, and Education departments. Grinnell Scott, Fox News.
The president-elect breaking his silence on the federal investigation surrounding his son Hunter. When questioned by reporters yesterday, Biden said, "I'm proud of my son."
There are various investigations looking into Hunter Biden's business and financial dealings and his taxes. There's also the president-elect's brother, Jim. Both Jim and Hunter have been accused of trading on their family name to land lucrative overseas business deals, including a deal with a Chinese energy firm.
Fox's Mike Emanuel. At the end of the weekend, New York City restaurants will again close their dining rooms.
New York Governor Andrew Cuomo says his decision to halt all indoor dining in the city is because of an increase in the number of infections, rate of transmission, as well as a surge in the number of hospitalizations. He says the density also of the city's populations makes eating indoors at restaurants, in his words now, quote, too risky.
Fox's David Lee Miller, Pennsylvania also halting indoor dining, and Baltimore is stopping both indoor and outdoor dining. Pam Puso, Fox News.
WMAL traffic, I'm Michelle Murray. You will find some slow-going traffic on the Beltway outer loop between New Hampshire Avenue and University Boulevard. They're doing road work again this weekend with the two right lanes closed. That will be there throughout the day, so do expect those delays to continue. Also, do keep in mind that there is a water main break that has the southbound lanes of the Rockville Pike closed between Nicholson Lane and Golf Lane. Follow the traffic cones in place to make a left or right turn at Nicholson Lane.
The market is constantly changing. The Marketplace Minute keeps you up to date 1 minute at a time. When you're getting the kids off to school.
Alexa, play Marketplace Minute.
All operators filed for bankruptcy.
Just before the Zoom meeting.
Hey Siri, play Marketplace Minute.
Says it's been spending more on hiring workers.
When your day is done.
Hey Google, play the Marketplace Minute.
Upward swings in indices in Europe and Asia.
The Marketplace Minute, a podcast and smart speaker briefing updated 3 times daily. Ask your smart speaker to play the Marketplace Minute. Listen on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your shows.
Don't miss the Trading Group Show, Saturdays at 3 p.m. on WMAL. Learn how you can earn a full-time income as a short-term trader. That's the Trading Group Show, Saturdays at 3 p.m. The question line is 888-646-8787.
Quarterback Patrick Mahomes for Helzberg Diamonds.
Okay, the clock's ticking and you still need a gift, but you're not sure where to start. Believe me, I've been there. So here's the game plan. Get to Helzberg Diamonds, where they have stunning jewelry at great prices and all the no-pressure advice you need to bring home a W. You've got this. Now get out there and win the holidays.
Right now, get a free Microsoft Surface Go 2 when you spend $1,499 or more. Limited time offer while supplies last. See online or in-store for details.
Sometimes in business, the unexpected comes calling. From rent increases to increased orders to, I'm going to say it, unprecedented times. But don't bounce back. Bounce forward with Comcast Business. Bounce forward fast with internet speeds up to a gig, with the flexibility to update your bandwidth in just a few clicks, and with security solutions that help keep your connected devices protected. Be fast, be flexible, be ready for what's next. And bounce forward with Comcast Business. Get a powerful and reliable internet solution from Comcast Business starting at $69.99 a month for 24 months with a 3-year agreement. Plus, get free installation when you order online. And for a limited time, ask how to upgrade to get a $500 prepaid card. Call 1-800-501-6000 or go to ComcastBusiness.com today to find out more. Prepaid card offer ends 12/13/20. Restrictions apply. Limited to new Comcast Business Internet and One Voice Mobility customers. Early termination fee applies. Equipment installation taxes and fees extra. Subject to change.
Michael Robinson, people often ask you about your career playing pro football. But I've noticed something. You actually get more enthused about something else. What is it?
Jonathan, as much fun as it is to recall moments from the big game, nothing has been bigger to me than enjoying family. That's why I love the Good Feet Arch Support so much. They have helped me get back to the best parts of my life. Now, the biggest games are in the backyard with those I love.
And we share that joy, Michael, of time with family and making memories without our feet getting in the way. I'm a granddad now, and I love keeping up with my 11 grandkids. Hey, maybe that's something for you to look forward to, Michael.
Being a granddad? Come on, man. I'm enjoying my active life as a young man with a young family. Don't rush me.
Hey, no problem, Michael. Don't let foot, knee, or back pain stop you. Come in for your free fitting and test walk. Make an appointment today at goodfeet.com.
I'm not up early for work. I'm awake for my favorite girl. This is the life I pictured after retiring from the federal government. I want to stay healthy for more days like this, so I picked an Aetna health plan that takes a total approach to my health. It's just for federal retirees. It fits my budget with low premiums and low out-of-pocket costs. I can even get help with some out-of-pocket expenses. I've got other things to spend my money on.
Grandpa!
To learn more or chat live online, visit aetnafeds.com/radio.
Now, the Saturday morning update.
Good morning. It is the Saturday morning update. Great to have you with us. I'm Rick Fowler, Jeff Wolf behind the console, Jane Houghton, our producer this morning. And we have the A-team of experts joining today. We've got Jennifer Harper coming up, Jim Trusty. We'll talk with John Gizzi from Newsmax, Cheryl Atkinson, Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer, and K.T. McFarland. And some new developments on a couple of fronts, and some very important developments on a couple of fronts. First off, If you're keeping score on Biden family investigations, we're up to 4 reported investigations now, but that's not the most important thing this morning. We'll get to it shortly. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration has authorized the first COVID-19 vaccine for emergency use in the U.S. Millions of doses of the Pfizer coronavirus vaccine. It's been found to be 95% effective. Millions will soon be shipped around the country, so vaccinations could begin as early as Monday. Now, an emergency use authorization means basically what its name suggests. It's a medical product gets a special authorization by the FDA to be used during an emergency. It's still short of a full approval. Pfizer would have to file a separate application for its vaccine to be fully licensed by the FDA. Well, a lot of people were very excited about it, including President Trump. Here's what he had to say late Friday.
Today, our nation has achieved a medical miracle. We have delivered a safe and effective vaccine in just 9 months. This is one of the greatest scientific accomplishments in history. It will save millions of lives and soon end the pandemic once and for all. Today's achievement is a reminder of America's unlimited potential when we have the will and the courage to pursue ambitious goals. As I've said from the beginning, a vaccine will vanquish the virus and return life back to normal. The pandemic may have begun in China, but we are ending it right here in America.
That's President Trump speaking last night. Now, the FDA commissioner is Dr. Stephen Hahn. He issued a statement, and I think there's one paragraph that's informative. Today's action follows an open and transparent review process that included input from independent scientific and public health experts and a thorough evaluation by the agency's career scientists to ensure the vaccine meets FDA rigorous scientific standards for safety, effectiveness, and manufacturing quality needed to support emergency use authorization. And that's from the FDA Commissioner, Dr. Stephen Hahn. The CDC Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices is scheduled to meet this morning. About 20 million people could be vaccinated in the next few weeks, and that, of course, an important step toward ending the pandemic. So that is good news and something we've all been waiting for a long time. And, oh, by the way, it is something that President Trump did promise before the end of the year. It's only December 12th. President signed a one-week stopgap funding bill late Friday. That was passed by the Senate earlier yesterday. That averts a government shutdown. What happened at midnight? That averts the shutdown for a week. Great, great news. The short-term spending bill, which the Senate passed by voice vote, extends government funding by a week to December 18th, aimed at giving lawmakers more time to reach an agreement on COVID relief and broader funding legislation for a new fiscal year. It passed the House earlier this week. Now, the stimulus talks are at an impasse, some critical sticking points. They do create uncertainty whether they will reach an agreement. We'll talk in detail with John Gizzi coming up later on this morning about what that impasse actually is. U.S. Supreme Court yesterday rejecting the lawsuit that had been brought by the state of Texas. It had been backed by President Trump. The idea was to overturn the election victories of Joe Biden in Wisconsin and 3 other swing states. The Wisconsin Supreme Court is set to give the final word in the coming days on Trump's own lawsuit seeking to do so in Wisconsin. They are scheduled to meet today. Now, the high court order was the second this week that rebuffs Republican requests to get it involved in the 2020 election. The Supreme Court justices had turned away an appeal from Pennsylvania Republicans on Tuesday. Also on Friday, the state Supreme Court agreed to hear Trump's lawsuit challenging Dane and Milwaukee counties in Wisconsin, challenging those election results. They've scheduled oral arguments for noon today, and that's likely in order to provide a ruling before Wisconsin's presidential electors cast their ballots for Biden on Monday. We'll get into the details of that case, the Supreme Court case, with Jim Trusty this morning. And also, we're going to get into the details on the Hunter Biden investigation with Jim Trusty, and we'll have more on that coming up next. But first, we will check the traffic and weather. Michelle Murray's in the WMAL Traffic Center this morning.
Slow-going traffic through the work zone on the Beltway outer loop between New Hampshire Avenue and University Boulevard, where the two right lanes are blocked. They're doing weekend-long bridge joint repair, so do be aware of that. Also, keep in mind that in Silver Spring, East-West Highway is closed between 16th Street and Colesville Road with a burst water main there. And also, the southbound lanes of the Rockville Pike closed between Nicholson Lane and Golf Lane due to the water main break. You'll need to follow the traffic cones to make a left or right onto Nicholson Lane. Also, watch out for roadwork eastbound on 66 between 29 and Gainesville and Business 234. Only one lane gets through. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
Mostly cloudy skies on this Saturday. We will see some very mild temperatures, though, into the lower 60s. Chance for a few stray showers. I think the highest likelihood, though, will come later on tonight and overnight into early Sunday morning. Lows tonight in around the 50-degree mark, so very mild. Again, on your Sunday, mild conditions. Temperatures back in the lower 60s under partly cloudy skies. I'm ABC 7 meteorologist Alex Liggett at the Stormwatch 7 Weather Center.
It's 46 degrees right now in the nation's capital, and you are listening to the Saturday Morning Update on WMAL.
Washington's Mall, WMAL, where Washington comes to talk.
And we continue. We are at 6:16 on the Saturday Morning Update. I'm Rick Fowler. It's great to have you along. And you've heard the allegations in the Hunter Biden affair for quite a while. I mean, you saw Tony Bobulinski just before the final debate in the election talking about it, talking about his relationship with Hunter Biden, with Joe Biden. And it was all pretty much ignored by the media. It was censored by the media. It was banned by the media. All the stories that had details that nobody wanted to hear in the liberal media. Obviously, we had an election coming up within a week or two. How could we possibly want to damage Joe Biden's presidential hopes by actually reporting some news? Well, here's what's going on. The federal investigation into Joe Biden's son, Hunter, has been more extensive than a statement from Hunter Biden indicates. Now, this is a Politico report, and it's according to a first-hand knowledge person. You know how those are. Well, on Wednesday, Hunter Biden said that he had been contacted about a tax investigation out of the U.S. Attorney's Office in Delaware. Now, that was a statement that came on transition team letterhead, your tax dollars, paying for Hunter Biden's statement about his tax affairs. Well, in addition to Delaware, as Politico reports, the Securities Fraud Unit in the Southern District of New York also scrutinized Hunter Biden's finances. Again, that according to the person with direct knowledge of the investigation who spoke with Politico. The person said that, as of early last year, investigators in Delaware and Washington were also probing potential money laundering and Hunter Biden's foreign ties. The person spoke on the condition of anonymity because they're not authorized to discuss the matter publicly, according to Politico. Now, in addition to the probe into Hunter Biden, federal authorities in the Western District of Pennsylvania are conducting a criminal investigation of a hospital business in which Joe Biden's brother James was involved. Federal officials have asked questions about James Biden's role in the business, according to a second person with direct knowledge of that investigation, who said it remains ongoing. That reporting from Politico. The New York Times, late yesterday, with this story, Dateline Washington. As federal investigators in Delaware were examining the finances of Hunter Biden during his father's campaign for president, a similar inquiry ramped up this year in Pittsburgh. That was fueled by materials delivered by President Trump's personal attorney, Rudy Giuliani. Attorney General William Barr had asked the top federal prosecutor in Pittsburgh to accept and vet any information that Mr. Giuliani had on the Biden family, including Hunter Biden. Mr. Giuliani met with that Federal prosecutor Scott Brady met for nearly 4 hours in January discussing his findings. We'll talk in detail with Jim Trusty about what all this means. What does it mean to have a federal investigation? Hunter Biden labeling it as tax affairs, but what does it take to move it out of the IRS and move it into the U.S. attorney and reports of a grand jury and reports of subpoenas being served? The subpoenas reportedly served on Wednesday. So a lot going on there. And what I find troubling, and I'm sure if you've been following conservative talk, whether on the radio or on conservative news channels, a lot of audio has been played of the punditry and the typically liberal-leaning media and how they treated the story immediately before the election. There are a lot of gems out there. You've heard a lot of them. I've selected one. Here's from Leslie Stahl. This is when Leslie Stahl was interviewing President Trump for 60 Minutes, just before the election. A pretty significant interview. Now, President Trump brings it up, and he's talking about Joe Biden's media coverage, and he brings up Hunter Biden. Listen to Leslie Stahl. Listen to her condescending tone to the President of the United States.
When I watch him walk out of a store, and he's walking with an ice cream, and the question the media asks him, what kind of ice cream, what flavor ice cream do you have? And he's in the midst of a scandal.
He's not.
And he's taking...
He's
of course
not.
He is,
no.
Leslie.
He's not. Oh, play that. Play that again.
And he's in the midst of a scandal.
He's not.
And he's taking...
He's
of course
not.
He is,
no.
Leslie.
And the president tried to correct her by saying, of course he is, Leslie. But, oh, no, she didn't want to hear it. Nobody wanted to hear it. Nobody wanted to report it. Joe Scarborough. Here's another genius. We once had a meeting when he was at a place I worked years ago. We had a meeting, and he did a visit. And, you know, he was big time back then in radio. We had a meeting. It was probably a room of about 20 people. And we had a problem fitting his head in the room because of the size of his ego. And that was 20 years ago. So this is Joe Scarborough, full of himself, as he dismissed all of the Hunter Biden material earlier this fall.
When there is a New York Post article that is false, it's much better for Twitter to let people read the New York Post article and sit there and laugh at the hokey story of a computer repairman looking at a computer going, this sure does look suspicious to me. I'm going to call Rudy Giuliani. Like, let that out, okay?
Sheer ignorance. I had a better word for him, but I won't go there. I'm saving it. Sheer ignorance, arrogance, media bias. I mean, it goes on and on and on and on and on. It's 6:23. It is the Saturday morning update. We have plenty to cover, and we've got some more interesting audio coming up. So do stay with us right here on the Saturday morning update.
Hi, this is Eric Stewart. If you've been playing with the idea of selling your home or maybe downsizing, well, tune in to my show, Sunday mornings, right here at 8 a.m. There I'll bring you this week's local real estate news and what you need to do to get top dollar for your property. With over 30 years of experience and the backing of Long & Foster, one of the top real estate companies, I've pretty much seen and sold it all. To learn more, check us out on the web at ericstewartgroup.com.
Finished a load of laundry. Dropped the kids off at daycare. Hit the gym for a quick workout. Stopped by Mickey D's to grab some breakfast. Got to work before my boss did. And it's only 9 a.m. meal.
There's a meal for every morning on the McDonald's $1-$3 menu.
Right now, get two crispy breakfast classics for just $3. Mix and match a fluffy chicken McGriddles or a toasty McChicken biscuit. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
For all you foodies out there, I'm unwrapping a McDonald's steak, egg, and cheese bagel. Ooh, look at this steak. And the juice running down the side. Got a little bit on the wrapper here. Mmm. And then the fluffy egg and real cheese folded over the side looking just so good. Mmm. grilled onions and a butter bagel too. Thumbs up for McDonald's steak, egg, and cheese bagel for breakfast. Love it. I participate in McDonald's.
Retired federal employees. The United Healthcare Group Medicare Advantage Value PPO plan offers you a number of great benefits, like nationwide coverage, no out-of-pocket costs on covered medical services, a Part B premium subsidy, a free fitness program, hearing aid coverage, and more peace of mind to make the most of your well-earned retirement. It's time to take advantage. Open season for federal retirees starts on November 9th. Learn why the United Healthcare Group Medicare Advantage Value PPO plan may be a smart choice. Call United Healthcare at 1-844-481-8821 or visit www.uhcfeds.com/retiree. That's 1-844-481-8821 or www.uhcfeds.com/retiree. This plan is only available to retired federal employees. Benefits and features may vary by plan or area. Limitations and exclusions apply.
Saturday morning update, 6:26. I'm Rick Fowler. It's great to have you with us. Well, here's another great story this week. Remember our pal Eric Swalwell? Remember our boy from California? Young fellow was trying to run for president. I think he was the first, if not one of the first, to drop out. And Swalwell, a little hot water now because of a relationship that he had with a woman who is known as a Chinese spy, also known as Christine Fang. Well, the latest on this one is Jim Sensenbrenner, who is a retiring Republican congressman, is asking the House Ethics Committee to investigate Representative Swalwell's relationship with the suspected Chinese spy. She's known as Fang Fang and also known as Christine Fang. Typically, when you're in that line of work, you have a couple of different identities. Now, Christine Fang is also suspected of sleeping with at least two Midwest mayors as part of her espionage work. Swalwell has refused to confirm or deny whether he had a romantic relationship with Christine Fang. You'd think maybe he'd deny that one pretty quickly if he could, but that's just my thought. Now, Sensenbrenner writes that Swalwell repeatedly refuses to answer any questions about these allegations, including whether he alerted Nancy Pelosi to the potential compromise when she appointed him to the House Intelligence Committee. All right, so he's hanging out with a Chinese spy, and here's Junior. I mean, he's like a junior member in the Congress and gets a real nice spot on the House Intelligence Committee. A lot of people kind of wondering how that went down. Sensenbrenner continued, "It is unknown how much private and or classified information Fang had access to as a result of her relationship with Representative Swalwell, and whether Swalwell was compromised." So remember Eric Swalwell during the hearings on Capitol Hill, the investigation, the Mueller probe? Remember how Swalwell went after Don Jr. for a meeting that Don Jr. had in New York? I think Don Jr. was with a group of people and met with a Russian attorney and some other people. That attorney allegedly later on turned out to be a spy. I think Don Jr. was in there for maybe 15 minutes and then split because the meeting wasn't going anywhere. Swalwell attacks Don Jr. for 15 minutes with a Russian lawyer that nobody knew was a spy at the time, while Swalwell is deeply involved in a personal relationship. How deep was that relationship? Well, as it turns out, family members of Eric Swalwell, including his dad, were friends on Facebook with Christine Fang. Friends on Facebook until, like, yesterday. That's pretty close, okay? That's a lot closer than Don Jr. got to that Russian spy. I don't think Donald Trump ever friended her on Facebook. Well, remember what Swalwell said when he attacked Don Jr. This is Swalwell. Now, just keep in mind as you listen to this, here's a guy that also placed in his office an intern recommended and set up by Christine Fang. So he puts an intern into his office that is recommended and set up by a Chinese spy. Swalwell does that, and here is his attack on Don Jr.
Stated plainly, the president's son met with a Russian spy. We now have the best evidence of that in our minority report the Democrats put out, that Ms. Veselnitskaya was going all over the world and bumping into Dana Rohrabacher, which is a sign of a spy, someone who tries to create, you know, a coincidence encounter. And now we know that she was working at the behest of the Russian government.
Wow. Now, the gem here, Swalwell's trying to explain this off, and of course, oh, nothing to see here. Move along, folks, nothing here. And he's talking about background checks. He's talking on CNN. Now, help me out here. Would you not think that somebody that's working in the Capitol would have a background check? But here's what Swalwell says.
In our congressional offices, Jim, we don't have the technical capabilities, you know, to run background checks on people who are around us. We need to invest more in our intelligence resources.
We don't have the technical capability of running a background check to have somebody working in the U.S. Capitol. Either that is a complete lie, or it is a complete breakdown of any common sense whatsoever in security at the U.S. Capitol. Small businesses have background checks. If I have a guy coming into the house to fix the toilet, most likely, the plumbers put him through a background check. So don't tell me you can't background check your interns in the U.S. Capitol. And they expect us to believe this stuff. It is the Saturday Morning Update. We will continue. We'll talk with Jennifer Harper coming up next.
Celebrate Thanksgiving and the December holidays at Canopy Pike and Rose. Groups can dine in the restaurant or tented outdoor rooftop terrace. Schedule a private party for up to 50 people in their modern and chic event space. Or if you prefer, the Canopy team can prepare a meal for you to finish at home. Savor the perfect chef-created seasonal and local menu made just for your group. Call 301-882-9400 to learn how the Canopy Pike and Rose team can make your holidays magical. 940 Rose Avenue, second floor in Pike and Rose.
Quarterback Patrick Mahomes for Helzberg Diamonds.
Okay, the clock's ticking and you still need a gift, but you're not sure where to start. Believe me, I've been there. So here's the game plan. Get to Helzberg Diamonds, where they have stunning jewelry at great prices and all the no-pressure advice you need to bring home a W. You've got this. Now get out there and win the holidays.
Right now, get a free Microsoft Surface Go 2 when you spend $1,499 or more. Limited time offer while supplies last. See online or in-store for details.
In the headlines, the U.S. has given the final go-ahead to the nation's first COVID-19 vaccine. It launches emergency vaccinations, and they could start as early as Monday. The FDA calling the vaccine from Pfizer and its German partner BioNTech safe and strongly protective. The Wisconsin Supreme Court is meeting in a rare weekend session today to consider President Trump's lawsuit seeking to overturn his loss to Democrat Joe Biden in the battleground state of Wisconsin. The high court agreed to take the case at his urgent request on Friday. That was after a state judge ruled against him earlier in the week. And the Supreme Court has rejected the lawsuit backed by President Trump, ending a desperate attempt to get legal issues rejected by state and federal judges before the nation's highest court. That coming down from the Supreme Court yesterday. He tweeted, "The Supreme Court really let us down. No wisdom, no courage," a tweet from President Trump in response to that decision from the justices. It's 6:33. It is the Saturday Morning Update on WMAL, and Michelle Murray's in the WMAL Traffic Center this morning.
In Northwest D.C., keep in mind that Canal Road is closed northbound between Arizona Avenue and the Chain Bridge for construction. Traffic must turn onto Arizona Avenue, so do keep that in mind. Also, keep in mind some demonstrations taking place in the district today, so numerous streets will be closed throughout the day until midnight. That includes 12th Street between Constitution Avenue and L Street, and the 12th Street Tunnel will be closed, and also 10th Street will be closed between Constitution Avenue and L Street in Northwest. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Storm Watch 7 forecast.
Mostly cloudy skies on this Saturday. We will see some very mild temperatures, though, into the lower 60s. Chance for a few stray showers. I think the highest likelihood, though, will come later on tonight and overnight into early Sunday morning. Lows tonight in around the 50-degree mark, so very mild. Again, on your Sunday, mild conditions. Temperatures back in the lower 60s under partly cloudy skies. I'm ABC 7 meteorologist Alex Liggett in the Stormwatch 7 Weather Center.
46 degrees in the nation's capital at 6:35.
Tonight's the night. Santa's trusting us elves to take care of the North Pole while he delivers all the holiday goodies. Wooden ponies, dolls, Xfinity.
Xfinity?
It's only the awesomest internet ever. Naughty or nice, they let you pick the speed that's best for you, all the way up to gig. And you get internet with top-notch coverage.
Did you make Xfinity, Dad?
No, but I made the wooden ponies.
I guess those are good, too.
Get Xfinity Internet this holiday and pick the speed that's right for you, up to gig. Enjoy fast, reliable internet and great coverage with advanced security included at no extra cost with the XFi Gateway. Simply log in and activate through the Xfinity app. Get started with Xfinity Internet for $39.99 a month for 12 months with no term contract required. Visit Xfinity.com, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit a store today. Requires equal bill and auto pay, ends 1/31/21. Restrictions apply. New Performance Pro Internet 200 megabits per second customers only. Equipment, taxes, and fees extra and subject to change. After promo, regular rates apply. Actual speeds vary.
It is the Saturday Morning Update. We are so glad you have joined us, and we are so glad to have Jennifer Harper join us each week. She writes Inside the Beltway at the Washington Times, always keeping tabs on what's going on with folks around the country, how people are feeling about the elections, how they're feeling about their lives. Good morning, and it is great to have you with us.
Good morning, Rick. You make me sound like a psychiatrist, but that's okay.
Well, you give us a lot of great information every week. There are so many poll numbers floating around out there. We saw the dreadful performance of the media in the run-up to the election. I mean, they're saying media malpractice. I'd call it media malfeasance and ignoring the Hunter Biden story. And the media saying everything is Russian misinformation. And now, as we see more information come out, it was the misinformation of the media and social media that's so troubling. And you had some new poll numbers from around the country about how Americans are feeling about the media.
If you wonder if people are noticing all of this, the media are getting away with all this kind of shenanigans. Well, the Americans are finally beginning to smell the media rat. And I have a significant poll. This is coming from Gallup and the Knight Foundation. It's a very large poll. And what they have discovered is that the public knows that Biden is getting better coverage than Mr. Trump. Now, this is across the board, and I'll just give you a couple of the numbers. This is directly from the poll. They say, when asked to assess media coverage of the two presidential candidates' campaigns, Americans think the coverage of Biden's campaign was significantly more fair than the coverage of Trump's campaign. I repeat, this is Gallup saying this. And that was 74% to 55%, respectively. And this is happening despite all of the distractions, the media distractions and the melodrama and everything that else that was going on, and not to mention the pandemic going on. And the poll goes on to say, when asked to assess media coverage of the two presidential candidates' campaigns more generally, Americans think the coverage of Biden's campaign was significantly more fair than the coverage of Trump's campaign. They say more than 4 in 5 Americans now believe they were exposed either a great deal or a fair amount of misinformation during the election year. And that's 84% overall of Americans. That's 4 in 5 Americans realize now they're getting misinformation. Also, 64% of U.S. adults say they were exposed to more misinformation in 2020 than in 2016. So that's a significant poll straight across the board. They're saying that Americans are woke, to use that very popular word from this year. And one other thing, Rick, someone also has done a little analysis of Joe Biden's media diet. And I put that in quote because that's what they did. This is a journalist is tracking what Joe Biden actually pays attention to in the media world. This is coming from CNN contributor Evan Osnos. And he said the president-elect's media diet is what we would call the classics He relies on things like the New York Times, the Washington Post, the Wall Street Journal. He reads some of the Economist and the New Yorker, a lot of it in print. And he said he also relies on Apple News to help him get through headlines. And what he is not doing, of course, is reading things from Newsmax, and he's not watching one American news network. Well, I guess we probably could have told him that, but that's, again, coming from Evan Osnos, and he's a CNN contributor, and he's also a senior writer over at The New Yorker, and he has a book out this week called Joe Biden, The Life, The Run, and What Matters Now. So that's already come out this week. So there's your update on Joe Biden's media diet.
One of my favorite sayings is, don't get mad, get even. What are you hearing about President Trump running again in 2024?
Well, I decided to do a little study on this because so many people, we still don't know about the election, and so many people are looking at 2024 and looking at and doing the math to see how old President Trump will be and so forth and so on. But I did a little media study myself and to find out that Axios, of all folks, reported on November 9th that Mr. Trump was already discussing a second run. And then we go down the line. NBC News has claimed that the president plans to kick off his campaign on Inauguration Day rather than appear at the U.S. Capitol to acknowledge the victory of our presumed president-elect Joseph R. Biden. So those are two interesting tidbits. It's all going all the way back to November 9th, and now we have news that he's not going to, you know, he's going to announce his campaign on Inauguration Day. And also you have to remember that Mr. Trump has raised $200 million since Election Day. And according to some press reports, this is destined for a new political committee. And also, of course, his Election Defense Fund. It was actually the Associated Press that noticed that. And we have Senator Rick Scott of Florida, Representative Jim Scott of Indiana. They're already stepping forward to help Mr. Trump's reelection efforts. This is according to Politico. And also, multiple news organizations were just stuck on Mr. Trump's recent comment where he told the White House staffers, I'll see you in 4 years, you know, suggesting that he was definitely ready to rumble in 2024. So if we do all the math on that, I think he's going to rev, if he decides to do this, I think he's going to rev up his campaign apparatus in the next couple of months if he hasn't done it already and start staging these sort of very strategic appearances, public appearances before hitting the road. And he'll probably do that in very early 2023, which will kind of be here before we know it. I did the math on that too, and that's like 1,000 days from now. So anyway, there's a Politico Morning Consult poll. They say a large majority of Republicans and independents have faith that President Trump will follow through on his musings about running for president again in 2024. This is Politico Morning Consult. Among Republicans, 76% believe a 2024 run is likely. 60% of independents agree with that. Democrats, a little less certain, but 47% say they believe a run in 2024 is likely. So that's what's out there. That's the chatter out there about a 2024 run.
Wow. Well, every couple of years, Al Gore comes out from underneath the solar panels. What's he talking about now?
I love that, emerging from underneath the solar panels. Well, he's been pretty quiet. You've noticed that probably in the 2020 election. Well, he's suddenly come out from underneath the solar panels, as you mentioned. He's broken his silence, and he is now actively fundraising for the Georgia Democrats at the moment, Raphael Warnock and John Ossoff, and he's very briskly fundraising for them. And besides that, Rick, Mr. Gore is already coming out, carrying on about the Climate Reality Project. Now, I don't know if you know what that is or remember what that is, but this is the eco-minded nonprofit, very, very active, that he founded all the way back in 2006 when we were all talking about polar bears and so forth and so on. Well, he was giving a lot of big commentary about the Climate Reality Project and so forth, but also sent along a whole new realm of kind of climate alarmism, and now they are pushing the idea of climate smart cooking. And this is pushing the idea that fossil fuels could threaten the farms and food systems of the world, and that food itself is critically threatened by the climate crisis. I don't know how that is, unless it causes you to burn your spaghetti sauce or something like that, but there is a cookbook. and this is again coming from Al Gore's group. It's called Climate Smart Cooking and the Future of Food. I went and looked. It includes recipes. If you're curious about this, you can go get it. It's free for download. It's right there at the climaterealityproject.org, right on their front page there. So if you want to see Al Gore's new Climate Smart Cooking cookbook, well, you can do that.
So the geniuses in the Democratic Party are always promoting the notion of gun control. And then what do? They go out and say they're going to defund the police. So what does that mean when it comes to firearm sales?
Well, Americans are still arming themselves, and this is all by the numbers, and this is a lot. And they are saying that presumed President-elect Joseph R. Biden is fueling a lot of this because a lot of folks are looking to see what kind of gun control will be instigated if Mr. Biden does indeed end up in the White House. So let's go to the numbers. This is from Small Arms Analytics and Forecasting. This is an industry source. They said that the sales of firearms topped 2.1 million in November. And that's an increase of 49% from this time last year. This
wow.
is an analysis that's based on data from the FBI's National Instant Criminal Background Check System, so we know it's official. And similar spikes in sales are occurring at a record-breaking pace throughout the year. This is according to the organization. And so I thought, I'm going to look and see what the news organizations kind of out in the grassroots country have to say. And I looked at what the Missoulian have to say. This is a newspaper based in Missoula in western Montana. They say the demand for guns, bullets, and ammunition in Montana has caused a record surge in FBI firearm background checks in the state, and has retailers and manufacturers overwhelmed and shocked. This is in Montana, folks. So according to Ted Beardsley, he owns the Empire Arms and Ammunitions in Manhattan. That's a little town in the southwestern part of Montana. He says that is an understatement. It's been absolutely insane. So that's the big doings in Montana about gun sales, and also in Maryland. Maryland gun shop owner Dan Hartman, this is according to the Baltimore Sun, he attributes this explosive increase to public uncertainty over the coronavirus pandemic and also continuing social unrest, protests in major cities. He also cites the prospect of President-elect Joe Biden, a gun control advocate in the White House. He said people are just plain scared. And the Sun also quotes Mark Panic. He's the president of the gun rights group Maryland Shall Issue. He said former President Obama was the best gun salesman in the history of the United States, and I think Biden will be likewise, meaning folks are stocking up.
Jennifer Harper, inside the Beltway, The Washington Times. You can follow her on Twitter at Harper Bulletin. We're at 647. Jim Trustee's up next, but first a check of the traffic and weather. Michelle Murray's in the WMAL Traffic Center this morning.
A couple of water main breaks to be aware of in Maryland. One in Silver Spring affects East-West Highway in both directions between 16th Street and Colesville Road. That portion of the roadway is closed. And in North Bethesda, Rockville Pike is closed southbound between Nicholson Lane and Golf Lane due to a water main break. Follow the traffic codes in place. You need to make a left or right on Nicholson Lane. Also, road work on the Beltway Outer Loop again this weekend between New Hampshire Avenue and University Boulevard. Two right lanes are blocked and traffic is very slow through the work zone. Now from GarageJoyPair.com, the WMA Stormwatch 7 forecast.
Mostly cloudy skies on this Saturday. We will see some very mild temperatures, though, into the lower 60s. Chance for a few stray showers. I think the highest likelihood, though, will come later on tonight and overnight to early Sunday morning. Lows tonight in and around the 50-degree mark, so very mild. Again, on your Sunday, mild conditions, temperatures back in the lower 60s under partly cloudy skies. I'm ABC 7 meteorologist Alex Liggett in the Stormwatch 7 Weather Center.
46 degrees in Washington, 648 on WMAL.
Washington's Mall, WMAL, where Washington comes to talk.
The Saturday Morning Update continues on WMAL. I'm Rick Fowler, and we are joined by Jim Trustee. He is a partner at IFRA Law here in Washington. He is the former chief of the Organized Crime and Gang Unit at the U.S. Department of Justice. Jim, good morning.
Good morning, Rick.
As of Friday night, the reports are that there are four federal investigations into Biden family members. Hunter Biden referring to his investigations as tax affairs. What would be your overall assessment of these investigations?
Well, there's a couple of things that are interesting here. I mean, the one is that the initial leaks of what this case or what these investigations might be about was coming from the Bidens. In fact, it was the Biden transition team that made some announcements about it. So that tells me there's something pretty unusual going on. And I think it could be one of two things. Number one is there's another shoe about to drop. And so this is kind of damage control, get in front of the issue and suggest that Hunter Biden may well get indicted. The other thing that I think is a possibility here, and it's kind of a dreadful one, is that there's a big old Biden Christmas gift coming. And what's going to happen is they want to get this thing done before they're officially in place in the White House. And the way to do that is a soft plea to a tax charge to basically limit the liability that Hunter has and to really, maybe more importantly for them, truncate any continuing investigation, kind of wipe out the whole inquiry about China, Kazakhstan, Russia, Ukraine, and just wrap it all up with a nice little bow and say, well, look, he's been held accountable and, you know, he might even have some amount of jail time. So I think that's a possibility when there's really other federal laws very much in play overall, like the Foreign Corrupt Practices Act and the Foreign Agent Registration Act and money laundering, things that carry pretty weighty penalties. One little side note, Rick, that I think is worth mentioning that nobody's talking about. They've talked about Pittsburgh as being one of the locations, the Western District of Pennsylvania, as one of the locations of the investigation. I think that's really intriguing because Pittsburgh is known for bringing a lot of cyber cases in recent years. They have FBI agents that are dedicated to cyber fraud and cyber crimes, including pornography, for instance. I'm wondering if the laptop is now a central focus of Pittsburgh that's kind of divorced from some of the other investigative work. So, again, keep your eye on that as well, because that could be very serious stuff if they're plowing through that laptop and finding anything that's particularly damning.
So we've heard the term grand jury used in some of the reports about the investigation. What would that imply if, in fact, there is a grand jury involved?
Well, that's a great question because it really depends on how it's being used. You know, the grand jury is a secret proceeding. You get a whole bunch of people together, maybe with COVID shields around them now, and you present evidence to them. And sometimes that's a very detailed presentation. Sometimes it's very limited. But one thing that prosecutors get out of the grand jury is the power of subpoena. And so they can compel people to provide records or they can compel people to come up and testify. And so that's the question. We're not going to know, at least for a long time. That's the question. Are they using a grand jury just to subpoena things, like to subpoena his CPA and ask for all of the records they created in doing his taxes? Or are they doing something like bringing in, Tony Bobulinski to talk about the whole overseas shell corporation payment scam? So, it can be used very aggressively and mean a lot, or it can be used very passively just to gather records and information.
When they say tax affairs, what does it take to move from the jurisdiction of the IRS, who, theoretically, if you underpay your taxes or the IRS finds unreported income, you get a nasty letter from the IRS, and if you're smart, you take care of it right away. What does it take to move it out of the IRS over to the U.S. attorney? I mean, what does that imply?
Well, for starters, it basically suggests willfulness. The tax crimes are generally predicated on the idea that you're willfully breaking the law. So it's a lot different than, making a clerical error or giving yourself the benefit of a deduction that you shouldn't have. And the scale of it for criminal investigators to take these cases federally, the scale tends to be pretty large. They're not going to take a case with a couple of thousand dollars in play, a couple thousand dollars shortage of payment. So what happens with the IRS Criminal Investigation Division is they do a ton of legwork with very little need for guidance. And they will basically go to the U.S. Attorney's office and say, we'll look into this. They gather up taxes. They interview CPAs. They interview witnesses and do a full audit. And then kind of miraculously, 2 years later, they show up at the U.S. Attorney's office and say, here's a box with some lovely folders with all of the evidence you could ever ask for. So they tend to build very methodical cases. but strong cases, and they'll have information about shell companies and conduit payments and obviously all the calculations of tax laws that would go into a criminal case like that.
Some of the pundits are talking about the notion of a special counsel to investigate the Biden family. Where would that go? What would that look like?
Well, it actually makes some sense. You know, the basic underpinnings of special counsel is when you're investigating your superiors within the Department of Justice, we want to have somebody from the outside get involved, somebody who has a little different chain of communication and chain of authority than a routine DOJ employee. So when you're talking about the president-elect's son, yeah, that's right smack in the crosshairs of the type of thing where special counsel would make sense. It would also maybe make sense as an economy of scale if there really are these different U.S. attorney's offices looking at different parts of Hunter's conduct. So, again, there's a formal process to appoint. They end up having a little bit more built-in longevity and independence by being special counsel. And then whether they do an indictment or not, they're going to issue a report for the attorney general's consumption and usually for at least Congress, if not the general public. So it does kind of buy you some tenure in this world if you're a special counsel, because you're going to be generating a report where people should be able to see your factual findings.
So, Jim, what was termed by many as a Hail Mary by the Trump campaign supporters and attorneys was a case filed by the Texas Attorney General against four swing states. That decision came down last night as to whether the Supreme Court would tackle it or not. Give us a layman's description of what the case was and the outcome so far with the Supreme Court.
Well, the case was a real comprehensive version of all the litigation we've been seeing around the country. I mean, it's basically all of the constitutional challenges to state action by either state executive office people or state courts instead of the state legislatures, who are the ones that are supposed to deal with electoral changes. So they were picking apart all of these kind of late filing things and changing the rules midstream, and it was a good read. It may not have gone anywhere, but it was a pretty compelling read in terms of unconstitutional action by those four states. The problem was it was a fairly novel approach to standing. It said, essentially, we here in Texas are being deprived of our full electoral rights because they changed the rules up there in Pennsylvania. And that's just a little bit of a bridge too far. So a lot of legal experts were saying that they didn't think that this was going to be Article III standing. The Supreme Court would reject it outright. And that really is how it played out. So what's frustrating for the rest of us, you know, out here is that it had facts underneath it. I mean, there were kind of undeniable facts and undeniable truths about the changing of the goalposts when it came to some of the election decisions by these states. But it wasn't the vehicle to get there. And, of course, the Supreme Court wasn't dying to overturn an election anyway, just in terms of putting their fingerprints on these things. So we're left to a smattering of cases around the states and probably a much thinner hope for the Trump White House this morning than they would have had earlier yesterday.
Jim Trusty, partner at IFRA Law here in Washington, and you can keep up with Jim on Twitter at Trusty Lawyer. As always, Jim, thank you so much for taking some fairly complex legal scenarios and translating them so that we can all understand.
I give it a try, but thanks. Fun to be on.
657, Saturday Morning Update, 7 o'clock news coming up.
Retired federal employees. The United Healthcare Group Medicare Advantage Value PPO plan offers you a number of great benefits, like nationwide coverage, no out-of-pocket costs on covered medical services, a Part B premium subsidy, a free fitness program, hearing aid coverage, and more peace of mind to make the most of your well-earned retirement. It's time to take advantage. Open season for federal retirees starts on November 9th. Learn why the United Healthcare Group Medicare Advantage Value PPO plan may be a smart choice. Call United Healthcare at 1-844-481-8821 or visit www.uhcfeds.com/retiree. That's 1-844-481-8821 or www.uhcfeds.com/retiree. This plan is only available to retired federal employees. Benefits and features may vary by plan or area. Limitations and exclusions apply.
Quarterback Patrick Mahomes for Helzberg Diamonds.
Okay, the clock's ticking and you still need a gift, but you're not sure where to start. Believe me, I've been there. So here's the game plan. Get to Helzberg Diamonds, where they have stunning jewelry at great prices and all the no-pressure advice you need to bring home a W. You've got this. Now get out there and win the holidays.
Right now, get a free Microsoft Surface Go 2 when you spend $1,499 or more. Limited time offer while supplies last. See online or in-store for details.
This is Mike Donovan, host of Not Free America on Sundays at 10 a.m. right here on WMAL FM 105.9 in the nation's capital. This weekend on Not Free America Radio, economic disaster looms as our GDP crashes. What does losing a third of our economy really mean? Meanwhile, New York Governor Andrew Cuomo takes quarantining travelers to a new extreme. And we talk facts about qualified immunity in the American police state. Join us Sundays at 10 a.m. right here on Not Free America Radio.
WMAL-FM, Woodbridge, Washington. Now, more than ever, depend on 105.9 FM WMAL, a Cumulus station.